week we finished with the paragraph on page Tov Kuf Samaches. Let's just go over that last paragraph. Ayesoid Hasheni. Ayesoid Hasheni who? Shein HaTachlis Bavoyde Kedoshe Zu L'Sayim Oysev L'Hargis Kol Balechayim Shebanu. That a person often thinks, we learned this last week, we're just going to review a little bit, that a person often thinks that the only time that I've come to my Tachlis is when I've actually managed to destroy all these balechaim, all these animals that are within me, all of these things that are tearing me away from Hashem and from my family and from my children and so on, that when have I finally reached my tachlis? That my tachlis is when I've killed all these behemoths, and now I'm at tzaddik and I'm fine and everything is good. He says, Kishem Shashem Hasusum Shalmakev Samelach, Ain't a tachlis about Vadosul, Lesayim Oysev Laharagus Kolasusum Shalmelach. Certainly, the fellow that works in the stable, he doesn't think that, now I've reached my tachlis because all the animals are dead. That's ridiculous. Rak Adarabba, Kol Regev Aregu Shiyodeishu Oysa Hanovis Simcha Lamelach. The tachlis is the moment that I'm in. The tachlis is, no, the king gave me this animal to take care of. If it means controlling it, the king has. Or training it, the king has entrusted me with this animal. That's my tachlis, not to kill the animal, not to be rid of the job. Right? Often in life, we've become conditioned to feel that my tachlis is when I'm done with the job. In Avodas Hashem, the tachlis is the job. That's the tachlis, taking care of the susim of the king. Every single second that I spend giving hanah, joy and nachas to the king, that's what gives me a feeling of contentment, of worthiness in my life. That's the tachlis. The same with us. We have to know that when I'm using all of these koiches that we spoke about at length, are the koiches that correspond to the nations of the world and to these balechaim, that are what? That are constantly tearing at me. When I'm able to properly use these koiches in order to serve Hashem, and I'm dealing with these koiches, and I'm struggling with these koiches, that's the most chashuv thing in the world. That's exactly what Hashem wants me to do. To the last breath of my life. This is the greatest chus I could have. Is to do what? Is to watch the susim of the king, to take care of them, to control them. And if it means wrestling and fighting with them, that's my tachlis. My tachlis is the actual milchama. That's where we finished last week. Let's continue. Ube'emes. Really, he says, in truth, he says, in truth, it's really more than the mashal. It's more than the example that we learned last week about the susei hamelach, the horses of the king. Why? He says, mipnei shelo zu bilvad shebuchal rega shasusin the mitzayim tachas hashgachaseinu ubaliseinu anazaychem lasas bezas v'sanu shemelach malchem lochem. He says, it's not only. He says, in the mashal that we gave of the that he gave. Of the fellow that works in the stable that watches the horses. He says, it's different here. He says, it's not only Shebuchal Rega that every moment that the Susim Nimtsoim Tachas Hashke Chaseinu Baluseinu that I'm in charge and I'm watching over the animals. Anu Zoichim Lasas Bezeh Esu Tzadshu Malach Malachim Lachim that we're doing the will of the King of all kings. Ela Noisef Hoseh Bechol Rega Shonu Zoichim Lehi Lachim Lehi Aveki Mohem. What we didn't speak about last week was this is not just, when it comes to the susim, I understand that the king wants to see that I'm successfully handling the horses. Otherwise, I lose my job. Obviously, the point here, when I'm taking care of the stable, is to make sure that the stable is being taken care of properly and that the horses are trained and they're under control and so on. So, the measure of my success is obviously going to be with the question of to what degree am I properly handling the animals. But over here he says there's more. With Hashem it's not the same exact thing as in the Moshul. Why? Because he says, when it comes to Hashem, b'chol rego shon ezoichim li lochim el ha'ovekim ahem, really, it's not just the when it comes to the susim, the king's nachas is when he sees that the stable is being taken care of properly, and that the animals are all behaving properly, and they're all properly groomed and taken care of. But when it comes to Hashem's baruch in our lives, It's more than that. It's what every single second that was zeicher to fight and to struggle with the animals. That itself is the greatest nachas ruach. The time that we spend and the energy that we put into struggling and to fighting. which that's not really what interests the king when it comes to the stable. When it comes to the stable, the king is interested to see the nachas. You're taking care of his horses. Beautiful. He could take one of these horses out to war. He could take one of these horses out for a stroll. That means that you were matzliach in your position. But when it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his little stable boys, that's us, and stable girls in life, when it comes to that, here it's the milchama itself. It's the struggle. Like a loyal and faithful servant who runs after the animals to go hunt them, to go catch them, to bring them for the king. What brings the king nachas to see? To see that this Eved is working so hard to be able to tackle this animal and to bring it, to use it for the king. Loritz Biyaros, that he runs through the forests of the world of the kingdom for the king. How does he become even closer to the king? The closeness to the king is davka through how much effort he puts into what? Into chasing after these animals and tackling the animal and capturing it and bringing it back for the Kavod HaMelech. Kach gam anu, so it is with us. On the zoichim lasas v'tzayin HaMelech. Lord, we should know that we are zoichim to do the rotzen of the king. Not only when I spent this day being a perfectly good boy, a perfectly good girl, because why? Because you see, I didn't get angry. You see that I didn't yell at Yankala today. I didn't scream at Sarala today when she came back with a bad report, or when she came back having done something she shouldn't have done. I didn't lose my temper. And therefore, the king gets nachas. Hashem is baruch gets nachas ruach me. Why? Because I was a good stable keeper. I kept the behemoth, that beast inside of me, under control. So then I feel, it was taki a good day. It was a good day. But here, really, when it comes to serving Hashem, it's more than that. It's not only, he says, When I was able to keep that animal inside of me quiet. In other words, today was a gewaldige day. I gave tremendous nachas ruach to the king. You know why? Because the sus, the horse, behaved. It was perfectly trained. It was wearing the nicest outfit, and the horse was able to do exactly what I told it to do. So we often think in life that on those days when that behemoth inside of me was quiet and well behaved, that that's when I bring nachas ruach to the king. So he says that's taka true. Okay, that's a wonderful day. And you and I know that those days are very few and far apart. When they're quiet and everything is good, they call rega, but it's something different with being an Eved Hashem. It's more than that. Next page. When it comes to Hashem, every single second, Hashem knows. Hashem knows that every single second that I spend struggling not to lose my temper, not when it was a good and quiet day, not in one of those days when everything was just right, when Yankel and Sarala came home and everything was fine, or if they came home and it wasn't fine, but I didn't let that anger, I didn't let that temper rise inside of me. No, he says it's more than that. Our king, the king of all kings, knows that in order for you not to raise your voice that day when Sarala came home and it wasn't a good day in school, or you got a phone call that day, only the king of all kings knows how much you're struggling not to get angry. And if you weren't entirely successful, and the beast inside of you for a moment got the better of you, and then you worked so hard to quiet it down, and that night, going to sleep at night, you cried because you felt that it didn't work out the way that you wanted to. That crying also is part of your struggle with the horses that Hashem, with those lions and tigers and bears and beasts that Hashem placed inside of you. And only Hashem knows that the tears that you're crying that night are tears because what? Because over the feeling of guilt that you have, not having had complete control over the beast inside of you. But that's also part of your Avodas HaMelech, and only the king knows. Only Hashem knows that. And it's all because of Kavod HaMelech. It's all for the sake of the king. And that brings the greatest, he says, and those milchamas, those quiet wars that only you know about, the fact that you're in the fight, the fact that you're in the war, the fact that you care, the fact that your heart is broken, because sometimes in the day the beast gets the better of you, that's also all Kavod HaMelech. That's part of the glory of the king. There is a difference. lechvayid malach basar v'dam. Because when it comes to hunting, now you're a good guy. You're running after the behemoths. You're hunting for the sake of the king. Ikra simcha, when it comes to human being, human subjects and human kings. Ikra simcha v'hanosh l'hamelchi kasher eved bo mevias abalachayim nitzayim lefanev. Dikra simcha is the accomplishment that you're able to come back to the king and say, Your Majesty, I caught this animal and this is for your, this is now going to be able to be used to serve you, for your chariots, for whatever, for going to war. That's the ikra simcha v'hanosh l'hamelch. When the servant comes back, successful. And then the king rewards the servant and shows him great affection and great warmth and love. Look, you brought back this animal. You brought this animal back to my stable. In this world, that's when a person is successful. Same thing at work. When you're at a job, your boss doesn't particularly care if there are two people are working in the same firm, and in that firm. You put your kishkes into work. You put your kishkes into it. And the other person, for the other person, it comes in a much easier way. The truth of the matter is, any successful business is only going to be successful because your boss doesn't particularly care about the fact that you put your kishkes into it. It's very, very nice. And maybe he'll give you, like, you know, a pat on the back. But you'll get, eventually you're going to lose your job to the person who might not put his kishkes into it, but he brings back the balchai. You know, he brings back something new for the boss every day. Now he's able to bring another client in. So you could say you could say to your boss, Your Majesty, you have no idea how many kapitlach tehillim I said to try to bring that new client for you, and it just didn't work out. So again, you know, the boss will think you're a very nice person, and he'll have great admiration for you, and you'll be fired eventually, unless you're able to produce. Because in this world, the question is, what could I produce? And if you don't bring your boss nachas ruach, you're in America, you're a lo yitzlach. It's poshut. You are an unsuccessful person. In the eyes of America, you are an unsuccessful person. It doesn't make a difference how much you cried, how many kapitlach tehillim you said, you are unsuccessful. That's when it comes to the kings, to the masters, to the bosses of this world. Aval, however, bahanim shel ha'ikahu, etzim ha'yegiyev ha'is'amtzis, lilcha milei ha'avik, over asiyas v'tzaniyas barach. When it comes to the Rebbein Shalom, it's not like that. When it comes to Hashem, the ikah simcha is... The ikra simcha, the main source of joy in life is how much do I cry in my service of the king, not what I brought back to him. Although, of course, we try, we do our best, but sometimes the beast got the better of us. And at the end of the day, we don't have what to show for our effort. But Baruch Hashem, Chasdei Hashem, that our boss, our king, that what he cares about more than anything in this world is what? This amtsis, the kapitlach tehillim, the crying, the caring, the wanting, the trying. The other Rabbi says, "In nilchamim v'ne'avakum v'misyagim, the Jew who struggles and fights and is wrestling all of the time, b'li lirai shum taitzos v'atzlochus, without even seeing the results." You know, results are a tremendous incentive. When you're able to have a good product, it's a tremendous incentive. So for that mother who's able to have the perfect child. Who's able to have the perfect in child, and to see the results of her labor, so for that person, you know, even though you know it's, we would all like to have those perfectly behaved children, the question is that really the main nachas ruach that you're bringing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And even when it comes to ourselves, even ourselves, you know that when we that it's dafka with those children that are difficult. And with those children who are difficult, you have a million milchamas every single day in life. It's a milchama with those children who are difficult. And you yourself know that the main nachas ruach you have is dafke with the small successes with those children that are difficult, with the little progress that you make. But so he says, v'adar Rabbi, he says, im nilchama v'navokim esyagim. If a person is struggling in life, b'li liros shum totzos v'hatzlochas. And he doesn't even see the totzos and hatzlochas. You know, I always admire you have a rebbe in the first grade. So sometimes, or the rebbe in the early grades, those are unbelievable people. Those rebbeim in the early grades, they don't get to see like the Talmud Chacham. They don't get to see the bas Yisrael. They see like some crazy kid that's making the meshuggah in class. They don't get to see the final product, and they just push ahead. They push ahead without seeing. You know, who gets the covered? The 12th grade Rebbe. Or the teacher that from seminary, right? They get invited to the chasana, and they get the covered, and everybody's all excited. This is my Rebbe, this is my teacher, this is my Mora. Who even remembers the first great Rebbe? Who remembers the second great Rebbe? Who remembers the Mora that had to deal with all the mishagasim of the little kids that are playing around in class and making her or making him crazy? So they don't even see the tatzos. They didn't even have the joy and the nachas of seeing the results. And yet, can you measure the greatness of that faithful Rebbe, of that wonderful Mora, who every single day, without seeing the tatzos, they might not even see the kid ever read the Gemara. And they might not even ever see the little girl reading Rashi in a beautiful way. But can you imagine? But the yegiyas, the mavokim, the milchamas, the wars of that Rebbe, of that Mora, without even seeing the product, is there any greater nachas ruach for the King of all kings than such a Rebbe and such a Mora? Such a parent? Is there any greater nachas ruach? That person, Davka, who's fighting, who's struggling, who's running after the animals, who's trying to deal with the zoo, and he doesn't necessarily see all the results. It's not, in other words, it didn't work out that day. So only Hashem can measure, only the Rebbe Shalom knows how much karchus you put into the war, how much it meant to you, how much you tried to win, and you didn't even have the pleasure and the joy of seeing a successful day. A day that would measure up next, let's say, to the woman who lives next door to you, where her children were just perfect that day, and they came home with beautiful report cards, and everything is just right, and the animals inside of her really, really weren't misbehaving at all. He says, the nachas ruach that you bring to Hashem with your milchamas, with your struggles, with your wars, might be infinitely greater than the nachas ruach that a person has on a day that went just beautifully and just smoothly. Next paragraph at the bottom of the page. Now, there was a crazy thing that they used to do, and maybe they still do in certain places of the world, where they would, where the king and the queen would sit there, the emperor, and all the ministers and the chashuv people of the kingdom would sit there, and they would have this, like they even have nowadays, I think in Spain, I think they still have this barbaric thing where human beings are going to fight bulls, or human beings are wrestling with animals. So this was done to bring glory to the king. This was a very popular thing in the old days and in certain barbaric places where this continues. L'moshel, he says, shamelech echad aruchu l'chvaydim l'chamim balechayim shalamelech uchiyadua shakol inyoni oylam hazeh. Now, you know, one of the great yisaitis of all time, and especially the Tosaf Baal Shem Tov, is that you have to learn from everything in the world. So we have to try to understand, what is this crazy thing that we've had in history, that there are going to be wrestling matches, human beings are pitted against animals, and this is going to bring covet to the king. Now, if there was such a thing in the world, or even if it still exists in certain places, it must be that we could take from this something to learn in terms of our avodas Hashem, or else there wouldn't be such a thing in the world. HaKol Moshel, he says, Kedesh Nischazek al Yodim Lasas Yisvitzayin Avinu Shebishamayim Mitoich Simcha V'Hislavitz. Let's try to learn from this. There's a Yisoid that's in all of Torah, Me'ovai Techakmeni, that from my enemy I can learn. What can I learn? Like we see, that Davke, from those things in the world that look like this, so strange, they're so bizarre, they're so cruel, something like this, like bullfighting, or these, in ancient times, the way that human beings used to be pitted against animals. So we have to try to understand, Me'ovai Techakmeni, what can I learn out from this, in terms of my Avodas Hashem? How do I serve the king in this way? So he says, Davke, here we can learn more simchan, more islavis in our service of Hashem. Al kein, kishem sha'avdei hamelech shahayu nevokim im habehemes. Now these guys, when they went to fight against the animals in the arena, in the Roman amphitheater, wherever they used to do this crazy stuff in Greece, when they went to fight against the animals, loy nigshul ezebayif and shil b'de'eved, those warriors didn't look at this as, ach, b'de'eved, I can't believe that they stuck me in this situation. I got to fight against this animal. That's not how these guys get up in the morning before they went out to work, with this thought that there's all a big b'deved, that I can't believe that I got stuck in doing this crazy job. That's not how they went to work. They didn't think, what am I going to do? I have no choice. They didn't think of it that something strange happened in my day that I wasn't planning. If I cared, for years and years, these people were training for the opportunity to bring cover to the king by going to fight the animal. It's not a b'deved. It's not that I was hoping to have a perfect day, and it was going to be just a peaceful, wonderful day, and I wasn't going to be attacked by any animals. It was just going to be just nice and just right, and I was going to read a couple of psukim, and I was going to daven. It was going to be a nice day, and then all of a sudden, something crazy happened. This animal was at loose in my life. That's not how these people approach those days. Fakir, they trained, they prepared, and they were waiting with great trepidation and joy for the opportunity to bring cover to the king in such a way. Vein hakavon the shayrotz and shalem ha'yishakol ha'balichayim yeshu shkeitim shleivim v'madurim shalahem. So you might think that when it would come to the big day where finally I'm going to be, I think it's called a matador, I'm going to fight against the bull today. Could you imagine the biggest bizoin, the worst day for a bullfighter is when for some reason the bull is not interested in fighting. It's bizoinous. There could be like 20,000 people sitting there screaming, they want to see blood, they want to see a good milchama, and the guy takes off his red cape, and what happens is the behemoth sits there and is like, looking at Reader's Digest or something, and he's not interested in coming out, and you show him the red cape, and he says, that's not his favorite color, he's not interested. So then all the people are going to go home disappointed. And what kind of cover was brought for the king? No cover at all, because there was no milchama. There was no milchama. So we're crazy. We think that when there's no milchama, that brings cover to the king. What are you, crazy? The milchama is what you're preparing your whole life for. A milchama, the war that we have with the beast inside of us, the Yetzar, it's not a bedevin. That goof is what our life is all about. That's how you bring cover to the king. He says, what, the tachlis of the matador is that the bull should sit there quietly and not come out? He shouldn't want to fight? But I had no choice. I'm some kind of a guy. I ended up in this ring over here, in this rink with these behemoths. That's not the point. I came here. The reason that Hashem sent us into this world is for the milchama. It's not like I can't believe what a mazel. What a mazel. I ended up in this place with this Yetzirah. I can't believe my mazel. This is my mazel. And my next door neighbor doesn't have such a Yetzirah, and I have this Yetzirah. Look at this behemoth. I have to struggle with a temper. My next door neighbor doesn't have a temper. I have to struggle. For me to daven, it's the hardest thing in the world to say a Shemoneh Esrei. I can't say one bracha with kavana. And for this person to come so easily. So my whole life becomes a bedev. What am I, crazy? El Adar Rabbi says, Kol ha'oifen shahoyu nigoshim l'zeh. How did the matador get up that morning? How did he approach the bullfight, the rink? You know how? It's ha'oy l'chadchila shebelchadchila. That's the l'chadchila of my life. He says, that's the tachlis of my life. That's why I was created. That's what I do. Shezeguf ha'ya seder ha'yoyim shalhem. This is the seder of my day. In other words, my day consists of certain moments that are quiet and I'm resting and it's nice, and then I go to my work, and in my job there are going to be these milchamas. That's how all of us approach work. That's how we have to approach life. Larach milcham lechvayt hamelech. This is my job. I fight for the glory of the king. That's my job. That's what I have to do. It's not a bedevit. That's my seder hayayim. What makes us crazy is when we think that something happened to the seder of our day and we don't expect it. Now, you and I know that when you expect it to be a difficult day, and you know that there are certain things that you're going to have to struggle with, you're okay. I mean, you can deal with it. It's hard, but you can deal with it. You're okay with it. But that's not the case if you expected everything to go smoothly, and there shouldn't be any milchamas, and all of a sudden, you get a call that, the kid acted up in school, and you can't believe it, because today, you expected, you wanted to go to aerobics today, and you wanted to have, to play Mahjong or bridge or whatever, and you wanted to go to your Tehillim group, right, and you do your Bikicholim, you wanted to be a big Tzadikus, you wanted to be a big Tzadik today. It was supposed to be a perfect, beautiful day, and all of a sudden, they call you from school, that your uncle threw a rock through the window or something, and almost killed the Rebbe. So now you have to come pick up your uncle from school, and he's suspended. You can't believe it. And of course, since Yankel destroyed the whole Seder that you planned out for the day, you're going to lose it with Yankel. What's the Shaila? You're going to lose it with Yankel. And you're going to say all the wrong things. Because you didn't expect this Milchama. And this Milchama is mamish keneged against everything that you thought was going to be taking place that day. So, that's it. You're finished. But when a person approaches this and understands and believes that if that Milchama came up that day, if that war is something that developed that day in your life, That's exactly what the Rebbeinu Shalom has placed before you, for you to deal with and you to overcome, and for you to be able to deal with Yankel, to discipline, to take care of him, and so on, but to deal with him in a way that is compassionate at the same time that's Elvot's compassionate, at the same time he's taught properly and he understands how to behave, and you mechanech him, and you don't lose you don't lose that sense of clarity in knowing that this is exactly what I must do today. This is my melchama. This is not a bedevit. Laharis b'zez goydel m'sivusim v'namusim el ha-melech fakid. He says, this is how I show my great loyalty, my faithfulness to the king. By what? By going to this milchama and fighting this war. And when I have this way of dealing with the milchama, instead of becoming depressed every single time that I have the milchama, I realize that this is another opportunity. There's another opportunity to fight and to struggle in the service of the king. This is Kach Aleinu Lageshes on the left hand column. Kach Aleinu Lageshes El Kol HaMelchomis V'HaMavakim Im Kol Koiches HaBalechayim Shabonu. This must be our approach to what? To dealing with all of the wars and the struggles, with all of those Balechayim, those animals that are inside of us. Loi Ba'ifin Shul B'De'evet. Not in a way that it's a B'De'evet. That what could I do? Ubalez Brera, I have no choice. Ela ba'ifin shelechatchila shebelechatchila. Besimcha beslavis. It's hard to imagine. The joy and the excitement of another challenge, the joy and the excitement, if I find another beast inside of me, if something happened and I discovered another one of these animals inside of me, instead of becoming depressed, I can't believe that there's a Yetzirah that I have. No, instead of that, realizing it. Realizing that what? This is a lechatchila shel lechatchila, and I approach this with simcha and with the slavas. She says, "Gufi yihas seder hayayim haikari shelhanu." This is not something that just came up during the day. It could be that the main reason that I was given this day in my life was dafka not because of the aerobics, not because of the kapitel tehillim, and not even because of my little nice little chesed thing that I did that day. Maybe the main reason that Hashem gave me this day was that I'm going to have this child who broke the window in school, and I'm going to figure out a way how to be mechazik him at the same time, how to teach him respect and dignity for a teacher, for a Rebbe. Maybe that's why I was given this day in my life. See, I thought I was given this, I can't believe it. I woke up this morning, I thought I was given this day in my life, what? In order to exercise and to prepare a good meal. And in order to do what? And in order to do my little thing, my bigger cholim thing. And I got stuck instead with Yankel because Yankel broke the window in yeshiva. So now I got to deal with this and deal with the school. It turns out that maybe that's the main reason that I was given this day in my life. And that's my lechatchila. How will I deal with Yankel today? Because Yankel needs this moment in order to make him into a better person. And he was given to me, and he's my responsibility in life. This is not something that went away from the Seder Hayom. This is the Seder of my day. I just don't know that. Ki bezer onu zoichem al tachlis kol b'yaseinu lo'ilam hazer. That's why I came to this world. Shehi what? Asiyas nachas ruach la'avinu shebashamayim, to work for the Ribbono shel Olam. And that's why I give nachas. And there's a very important chiluk. We come back to the main, this very important difference between the moshel and the nimshel. In the moshel, the main thing is that at the end of the day, the servant or the matador was successful and he defeated the animal and he killed the animal. That's the measure of success, and that's how the king gets nachas ruach. V'echni oisam v'ivi oisam al ha-melech, to defeat the animal, to bring it as a prize to the king. Avol ha-havdil elef alfei havdolos. However, the nimshel, of course, is different. Hare kol yigia here, every single krechs, every single moment of trying. Every second I put into trying to talk to Yankel a certain way and to dealing with the teacher and with the school in a bekavadika way, in the proper way. Every test that comes my way during the day. Every desire that I have. Every effort that I make to be better and to deal with things in the right way. He mivias anachas ruach hagodla b'yoyis elamala. That gufa, that effort, that rotzen, that krechts, that wishing and that wanting, and that trying, is what gives the greatest nachas ruach. And not only that, v'adrabba, Kasha ein matzlichem, which we look at that as an unsuccessful day. Because in the end, maybe it didn't work out with the uncle. And I didn't, it wasn't, I tried, but I lost it. And maybe uncle didn't learn his lesson 100% the way he should have that day. Even though we don't even see, we don't even feel the pleasure and the joy and the encouragement of succeeding that day. And yet what? We get up and we try again. I'm going to try again. And we continue in the struggle. We continue in the milcham and the war. And we still try and we still are craving and longing to be better. Of action. That itself gives even more nachas ruach. We don't know. And this brings the greatest joy and the greatest simcha to all worlds. And a Jew doesn't even know, can't even measure how close Hashem feels to him. Feels how close Hashem feels to this person who is trying and who's crying and who's struggling and who even feels the guilt of not being successful and being determined to give another try the next day. We think that that Hashem feels so close to us on those days when everything went the way that we wanted, and we said the Kapitel Tehillim, and we went to the Chesed Project, and we made the good meal, and the house was clean. So then we think, ach, this is when Hashem is Baruch has the greatest nachas ruach for me. We have no idea. That's not how Hashem is Baruch runs the world. We have no idea. We can't measure at all the nachas ruach that Hashem has davke when we struggle and we're trying hard. Therefore, we shouldn't allow those difficult days to take away our simcha. Adarabba, it's another challenge, it's another milchama, it's a bullfight, but we're going to do the best we can. Kiritzayne v'cheftzay. And that's why I might have mentioned in the past that the unbelievable fragrant smell that Yaakov Avinu had. But it says in Torah that when he came in, he was so tzibrach and so broken when he came into his father Yitzchak, because his mother told him that he had to do this thing, to steal a bracha. And everybody knows that Yaakov Avinu is Emes. Titan Emes to Yaakov. Yaakov Avinu is the embodiment of truth. And he had to go there to steal the bracha, to do that which was, for Yaakov, which was the most disgusting thing in the world, to lie. To lie. For Yaakov Avinu, that was the opposite of his essence. And he went to do that. And it says in the Pasuk, Reach b'ni k'reach asada, that Yitzchak Avinu smelled what? It says that he smelled the fragrance of Gan Eden when Yaakov Avinu walked in. Could you imagine? Yaakov Avinu saw himself as stinking at that moment. He felt that he smelled like the most horrible thing in the world. Reb Leibel Eger wrote that when you take a cinnamon stick and you break it in half, it has the most beautiful smell, even more than when it's whole. So the Reb Leibel says there's nothing that smells more delicious to Hashem than a Jewish heart that's broken. So that moment that Yaakov Avinu's heart was shattered into a billion pieces because he had to be in this horrible, disgusting milchama, for Yaakov Avinu to say something that wasn't 100% true, it was the dirtiest job in the world. But that's what his mother told him to do, and he was totally tzibrach, and he didn't know what to do. And when he came in, he was like a cinnamon stick that's cracked into a million pieces. He thought he smelled terrible. But did he realize Yitzchak Avinu smelled the smell of Gan Eden? That means that Hashem smelled on Yaakov Avinu the smell, the mamish, the fragrance of paradise. It says, Kerech HaSada, which is the Sada, which is the field of all fields, which is Gan Eden. That's how Yitzchak Avinu, that's how Hashem Yisbarach smelled the paradise of Yaakov Avinu at that moment, even though to Yaakov Avinu's senses there was a horrible smell. So it's the same thing with us on those difficult days when we feel that we're doing something which is so much keneged ateva, and we're wrestling with the beasts and so on. So we feel this must be the most horrible smell. This is the most disgusting smell. But Hashem, like Yitzchak Avinu, was able to smell paradise Gan Eden of the cinnamon stick that's broken into a million pieces. Paragraph, V'ze avada seinu ha-timidus, l'ishtadu l'ishtoikik u'levakish me'Hashem Yisbarach, sh'niz k'lasas is'vitzayin Hashem Yisbarach. That's the tachlis of life. To struggle always to do the will of Hashem. Ayidei kol milchomu ma'avak yama balachayim shabonu sh'lein nikona tachtayim, not to give up, not to let the animals win, to do our best to fight. V'loi nishtoik lahem shtika kahidah. The worst thing is to give in. The worst thing is to be silent. To be silent, because shtika kahidah, to be silent means that I've given up. And when a person is depressed, it means he's giving up. Adarabba, if there's another challenge, there's another war, there's another milchama, with simcha and with the slavas. We're not going to allow the animals to rule over us. Lachain, therefore, listen to this unbelievable thing he says over here. This is unbelievable. Listen how David HaMelech davened. And we say this Friday night, we say this in davening, we say it in davening also every day. You know that in the Psukim of Psukah de Zimra especially, and in the Kapilach Tehillim that the Mekubalim said that we're supposed to say by Kabbalah Shabbos, when we're trying to get past the week and get into Shabbos. So look what we do. When we're davening, it's as if we're talking to all of creation. And we say to creation, what? Boyu v'nishtacha v'nichra. Come together with me. Let's all of us go. And what? And bow down and serve Hashem and praise Hashem. Halus Hashem. Eishuvarad shalavikita, right? The fire and the hail and the snow and all these things. It's like we're talking to creation. Then what do we say? Hachai v'chol behema. This is amazing. We're talking to the animals. We're saying hachai v'chol behema. Come. Every one of us says, you chaya behema, together with me, let's give praise to Hashem. Remes v'tzipa konef, right? The insects, the crawling animals, and the birds, and so on. Hayinu, what does that mean? Shashem is baruch nois, and l'chol yudhi kairachatum, next page. V'chol yoyim v'yoyim. That means that Hashem has given each and every one of us the strength, unbelievable kaiches, each and every day of our lives. Sheyuchal hashpiyis oirus al kol ha'olam katan shebaseichenu. What I'm really calling out to, like, look, most of us on an average day, we don't see these animals unless you go to the zoo, like, or you live in a funny place. Why would you see chay v'chol behema? Maybe once in a while you see a dog, but chay v'chol behema remes v'tzipa konav. What kind of? We don't see birds. We don't see any of these animals. I mean, we don't see these things. So when we're davening, what are we saying? Halus Hashem. What are we talking? Who are we talking to? We're talking to these animals, that these animals should come and serve Hashem. So what the tzaddik here is explaining is an amazing thing. We're talking to the animals inside of us. We're talking to that deeper part of us. And we're saying this. Shekulim yashiyu v'yoydel Hashem esbarach. Haynu kol ha-koyches v'achushim v'ativim. In other words, there's a part of me that's called fire. There's a part of me that's called snow. There's a part of me that's called a bird. There's a part of me that's called a bear. There's a part of me that's called a lion. There's a part of me that's called an insect or worm. All these kaiches, all of these behemoths. V'anetiyish nimtzoyim b'kirbein. The shesharish shom mikol ha-balichayim and mikol kaiches shabayim. Because what we see in the larger world out there, all of these are really a reflection of those kaiches that are inside of us and the things that we're struggling with in this life, in this world. Kulam yoyd l'Hashem esbarach. In other words, what we're saying is that b'soich kol erchad yesh es kol ha-koiches shal ha-chai v'chol behemah remes v'sipa konef eishu barad shalav g'chito ruach sar, the winds and the storms and the snow and the animals, all of these that we're talking about in the olam katan, in that little world of ourselves, these are the behemahs, these are the beasts, these are the struggles, these are the ups and downs of life. Because it's not all bad. There are wonderful moments too. We talk about the sunshine. We talk about the grass growing. We talk about the loveliness of the flowers. Because there are flower-like moments in the day, and there are chayis and behemoths of the day. But what we're saying is, let's all sing together to Hashem. That's what David HaMelech was saying. Let's all sing. What does that mean? What's the song? Kulam yashiru v'yoyd l'Hashem v'chashira eina kavana rak l'shir b'peh. It doesn't mean here necessarily breaking out in a song, davka. It means that my life is a song. What does that mean? What does it mean that one's life is a song? So very often we've spoken about this, and this is a subject, Rabbi Nachman and the Kuta Maharan in Reish Pei Beis and in other places. Ashir l'Hashem b'chayai. My life is a song. Because you know that every song, in order for it to be a song, it has high notes, it has low notes, just like on the piano, right? There are black keys. Those are the difficult days. Those are difficult moments. Those are the behemoths, the chayis. And then there are white keys. And the white keys are very beautiful and very nice, and we love them. So in order that there should be a song is only going to be if there are high notes and there are low notes. When you're in the middle of a low note, you think this is the end. You think I'm finished. This is not anything that Hashem could possibly want to hear. just like Yaakov could never have imagined when he walked into his father that that was something that could possibly bring Nachas Ruach to Hashem. And you and I think that our struggles and our wars couldn't be part of the song. It's not true. Because the low notes together with the high notes are what makes a person's life one long experience of serving the King of all kings. Shenichi says, Elalichyos ba'ifen shel shir v'shevach l'Hashem. My whole life is one song. Even the low notes are part of the song. Shenichi ba'ifen shel kol ha'anhogeh shelanu, im kol ha'koyches shebanu, yachrizu sha'kol me'Hashem Yisbarach. I understand that even the animals inside of me, just like the good things inside of me, they're all things that Hashem has given me. And all of these things have to be brought into that great song. All of even from the difficult times of my life and the low moments of my life, to learn and how to grow and what I could take out of those lower moments. David HaMelech didn't have an easy life. David HaMelech's life was filled with unbelievable mechamas, unbelievable wars, as we see. And the whole Tehillim, that's why we love to say Tehillim, because we understand that David HaMelech also had to fight, and we were able to fight because David HaMelech fought. So therefore he said, my life with its ups and downs, with the high notes and the low notes, is one tremendous song to Hashem. Ashir el Hashem b'chayai. I will sing to Hashem with my life. My life itself is the song. Sheyesh hal v'shir shanas ha'idei ha'ofen shabay anachnu chayim. That my life itself is I realize that even these difficult times are part of the song. U'mutal aleinu, therefore, it's our responsibility. Lachzer l'shanei tamid es ha'yisayit hazeh. To review this and to repeat this over and over in our minds and our hearts, this yisoid, this great important principle. Shahamahus shalonu v'ha'atzmi yishalonu. A Jew has to know that the essence of who I am, who I really am, he ha'neshama ha'kedoshah v'ha'gevoyah. That's how we began this summer. That the neshama ha'kedoshah v'ha'gevoyah, the essence of who I am, is holy and pure. No matter what, the essence of who I am is I'm a Jew, and the essence is the neshama, which is exalted, which is pure, and is unblemished. Asher Alehu Anu Moedim LaHashem Yisbarach, and for that, every single day, when we wake up in the morning, we give thanks to Hashem. Neshama Shenesata B'Tahirihi, that we believe no matter what, the neshama that you gave me is completely pure. Shechazarte B'Nishmasi B'Kirbi, and we thank Hashem that you gave me back the neshama. Kihinish Eris Tomid, Taher Vizaka Ubara, that the Neshama, no matter what, in other words, that with all of the animals, with all of the wars, with all of the ugliness that was during the day, that cannot in any way change on any level or affect the essence of who I am. The essence of who I am is a Neshama Taher, a pure soul that Hashem has placed into this world and is challenging with these animals. But the essence is the neshama tahira. The challenge and the challenges and the milchamas are all part of my giving nachas ruach. It's all part of that song to Hashem. But that doesn't mean that, God forbid, I am the animal. It does not mean that I am the behemoth. It doesn't mean that. U'b'chol yam, therefore, every single day, Hashem is baruch mashpia b'kedusha atzuma tahara niflo ayidei neshama kedusha. Every morning when you wake up, Hashem has given you new kaychas. Hashem is once again empowering that neshama, that soul inside of you, and that pureness inside of you. Umetachteh, Hashem is baruch mamalia sonu b'chelik sheini. On the other hand, every single day, Hashem places in our path what? Something that's not the essence of who we are, but something that we need in order to make ourselves great, in order to reveal the essence of who we are, which is what? Shehu lo yanachnu. It's not who we really are. Ela harei zerak hasusim. It's the horses. Sha'aleyim anachnu tzrichim lirkoiv. That we have to learn in life how to control, how to use in order to serve Hashem. To ride upon them. To make them into a chariot in the service of Hashem. Ve'em kol ha'koichis ha'kol ha'balichayim sh'anachnu tzrichim lahanigosam v'lishalat aleyim. And these are all the koichis of all the balichayim, of all the nations of the world that are part of that unbelievable song that's called life. And therefore, David HaMelech said, Azamra l'Elokai ba'oidi. I will sing to Hashem, which Rabbi Nachman explained, ba'oidi, with a little good that I can find inside of myself. And Rabbi Nachman taught that no matter what you've done wrong, no matter what you've done wrong in your life, there isn't a person, there isn't any one of us who cannot go over a day, at the end of the day, and find some good, something good that we did that day, something good that we felt that day. Something that we did that was sincere, that was real, that was true, There isn't one of us who doesn't have that good inside of us. When a person focuses on that and realizes that that's who you really are, that's who you really are, even though that might have been just 1 minute, and the rest of the day was the rest of the day was crazy, but that 1 minute is that one jar of pure oil, and that's the essence of who you are, and therefore that one moment, if you focus on it and realize that that's really who you are, and that's the essence of your life, and that everything else is part of the milchama that Hashem has placed in your path, and instead of becoming depressed and falling into despair, you realize the unbelievable schus that you have, that Hashem trusts you, and He's given you that neshama, and He's given you all the kaiches that you need to defeat, to control, to train these animals in order to prepare for Hashem the most wondrous, the most beautiful, spectacular chariot. If you realize that, then not only will you not be depressed by these nesiyanis, but a person will serve Hashem with a simcha, with a joy, and will be able to know that even if the day was a difficult day, maybe that day produced the most beautiful song imaginable. Maybe it's that song that Hashem was waiting to hear since your neshama was created by Ma'aseh Bereishis. We should bezeichem et Hashem. We should bezeichem et Hashem to see this, to feel this, to believe it, and to know that our lives are these songs, and to trust in our neshamas, and to trust in the one who gave us these neshamas, that we should be able to faithfully serve the master of the world with simcha, with nachas, and with yishuv adas.